And now, the show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea. I Promise, official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox. Bravely zero-turn lawnmowers and window work.
On Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, we just talked to the players, to the pitchers. We'll have another meeting probably in Kansas City when we get more information with the whole team and go over it. And, you know, I'll be open about it. You know, I come from suspension, and I know how embarrassing that is and how tough that is, not only on you as a person, but your family, your friends, and the people that love you. And 10 games a year, 2 years, 3 years, it doesn't matter. Being suspended is hell, and you don't want to go through that. You know, I was very open to them, and hopefully they understand that.
That's where we're going to begin the Baseball Hour tonight, with Alex Cora's comments to his pitching staff, and that was before last night's game against the Atlanta Braves. So here's what we'll do. We'll open up the phone lines right away, 617-779-0985, if our producer Jimmy Stewart could do that, or Billy Lanny back there. We'll take your calls on anything and everything related to the Red Sox, but I do want to start with Cora. I want to start with the continuing story of MLB implementing rules changes that will prohibit pitchers now from using adhesives on the mound. And, you know, I didn't ask Jim Murray this last night. I didn't ask Jimmy Stewart this last night. And honestly, you know, I want to be 100% candid with you as an audience as well. Sometimes during the course of the day, it's hard to listen to everything Cora says while we're on the air doing Felger and Mass. And not that you particularly care about the logistics involved in the show, but we essentially have the same crew for this show that we do from 2 to 6. The problem with that is that Alex Cora does a daily media briefing with via Zoom with the Boston media. You know, right around 4 o'clock, by the time it gets here, oftentimes it's quarter of 5, even 5 o'clock, which means we have 20 or 25, 30 minutes to listen to it and edit it and turn it around and play it for you. And so the bottom line is this. We miss stuff. I miss stuff. So Cora said this last night before the win against the Braves. And we'll talk about the win, too, because the victory over Atlanta does mean something. But the comment that he spoke to his pitchers about being suspended, how it's an embarrassment, it's not anything you would wish on anybody, whether it's 10 games or a whole season. It doesn't matter. It's hard on people who are, you know, that are in your family, that care about you. Certainly, it's a black mark on your career, and in Cora's case, it's a big blemish on his career, a managerial career in particular, that got up to a great start. And so, you know, there are a lot of questions and discussions about how this whole new policy in MLB is going to work. So before we get to specifically to Cora's comment, let me just ask Murray and Jimmy Stewart here quickly. Do either of you guys have an issue with this thing being implemented in the middle of the season?
Well, yeah, because it feels like, I mean, look, they've known about this, that this has been going on for God knows how long, and it just feels like this is being done after the fact because everything seems out of whack, and there's you know, you get pitchers right now that have way too much of an advantage. Look at how many no-hitters have already taken place this season. So I think you're seeing it implemented way too late. This should have happened before the season.
Okay, so Murray, are you saying, though, that they're reacting to what has happened on the field in the first part of the year?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, and the problem existed before, but it feels like it got worse this year,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Jimmy Stewart, what about you?
I do, because you're asking players to change the methods that seemingly have been going on for generations, and they need more time than a week or two.
Okay, I have no problem with MLB doing it in the middle of the year, and I'll tell you why. And I do agree with the with what both of you said, okay, that this is sort of tough to do on the fly. And Murray, I agree with your point that MLB is reacting to the events on the field. Things have gotten to the point where they're so bad, MLB had to react. To which I say, doesn't everybody always accuse MLB of waiting too long to react? And they did in this case, don't get me wrong. So they're supposed to wait longer?
No, it's good that they're doing something about it, but again, in the grand scheme of things, it's still after the fact.
Okay, no question, Murray. Yeah, no question. But there are pitchers like Tyler Glasnow who are bitching about the fact that this is being done in the middle of the year, and I'm not going to go off on my Glasnow rant again like I did last night, as much as I want to. I think Tyler Glasnow's a baby. I think he's a baby. I think he is an injury-prone pitcher who got hurt again. And yes, they changed the rules in the middle of the year. But you know what? And I sort of gathered this today. This started in 2020. They started talking about to players and or the union and teams about this in 2020. When they got to spring training, everybody knew it was coming. So why did Tyler Glasnow wait till the last minute to all of a sudden alter his methods on the mound? He could have started making the transition a long, long time ago. But he, like everyone else, knows he can't pitch without it. So you're getting all kinds of excuses. Then, here in Boston, the Red Sox have gotten their faces ripped off on the pitcher's mound in the last 2 weeks since his story broke, and it's about 12 days now. I think the original Sports Illustrated story came out on June 4th that highlighted which teams had gained the most spin rate since the end of last year. The Red Sox were third on the list. And almost overnight, the Red Sox went from one of the more surprising, in a good way, pitching staffs in Major League Baseball this year to one of the worst. They've been atrocious since then, and they did give up 8 runs last night. So now we'll get to Cora's comment to his players. Cora went in there and said, I told these guys I come from a suspension. And I said, be careful. You don't want this on your resume. And you know what the real reason the Red Sox are disclosing that discussion, or Cora is disclosing that discussion? The real reason is Cora wants an alibi. Because if and when a Red Sox pitcher gets popped, and there are going to be guys who get suspended here. Remember, during the steroid era, the suspensions came from all over the place. The Red Sox had theirs too. People get suspended because of steroid use. People will get suspended here because of the use of adhesives on the field. Might not happen right away. Might not even happen this year. But it will happen. And you know who everyone's going to look at and say, well, wow, there's a shocker. Cora. So what Alex Cora did today was create an alibi. Hey, guys, I told you this back on June 15th. I told the players not to do it. I was very public about it. I was very transparent about it. I've done nothing but praise Major League Baseball for the way they've handled this thing, because Alex Cora knows he needs every friend he can get. And by the way, I'm not criticizing him for it. I think it's smart on some level. I don't know that anyone will fully believe it, but that's the reason it came out the way it did. Meanwhile, J.D. Martinez spoke with the media today before the game. Now, if you remember earlier in the year, Martinez said, maybe rightfully so, Martinez said, you know, everybody talks about launch angle, how the approach of the hitters is the problem. It's got nothing to do with the hitters. It's the pitchers. They've gotten to the point where they're unhittable. They're spinning the ball. There's all kinds of stuff going on that we don't have a chance anymore. And I think he was right. And Murray, do you remember way back when we played some audio from Theo Epstein, where it was on a Bill Simmons podcast where Theo was talking about the changes in baseball, maybe moving the mound back.
Yeah, this was like when the season started.
Yeah, maybe a month and a half ago, somewhere in there. And one of the things Theo said was he looks at the shift as being a symptom, not a cause.
Right.
And I thought, what the hell is Theo talking about? The shift isn't a symptom. It's the cause of players trying to hit over their heads. And I look back on it now and I say, no, I was wrong. I understand what Theo meant now. The shift was a symptom because pitchers had gotten so hard to hit that batters changed their approach at the plate and started trying to hit over shifts. So what Theo is saying is that the whole launch angle phenomenon took place because pitchers were spinning the ball more and doctoring the ball. And you know what? He might be right. This might be the single biggest problem in the game and the genesis of it, really. The genesis might be that pitchers have gotten so much command, so much power, and so much spin on the ball that hitters had to change their approach, and you now have a product that I think is unwatchable. But J.D. Martinez said something else today that I think is worth, that's related to what Alex Cora said. So, Jimmy, let's go ahead and play it. Here's J.D. Martinez.
Is there any frustration that this is happening in the middle of a season where they're kind of changing the rules, in the middle of a season where you guys are doing really well?
I don't think it really affects us. I don't really think it affects our pitchers, honestly. Talking with our pitchers, nobody uses that kind of stuff. Nobody uses those kind of substances like that. So, I mean, I think it's going to benefit us, you know?
Do you believe him?
Nah.
Jimmy Stewart, do you believe him?
Not a chance.
It's not going to affect us because our pitchers don't use that stuff.
And this guy knows how to manipulate the system more than anybody with the video and, you know, his techniques.
So here's what I'm telling you. In the last 2 days, the Red Sox are putting it on the record. We're clean. We're clean. They know
it's better be right, Maz.
Okay, so again, exactly, Jimmy. Exactly. In the last 2 days, you have Alex Cora telling everybody. And I just think that they're putting their alibis in place. Okay, they're putting their alibis in place. So, and in Alex Cora's case, I get it. If this scandal hits the Red Sox after they put the rules in place on Monday on the 21st, if this scandal hits the Red Sox, Cora is going to get absolutely pounded nationally. Nationally, he's going to get killed. And I don't know whether he fears losing his job or not, but I suspect he does. I would if I were him, I could tell you that. And as for J.D. Martinez, no, our team's going to be fine because our guys didn't use that stuff. Meanwhile, the Red Sox gave up 8 more runs last night, and they've been boxed around for 2 weeks ever since the SI story came out. So J.D. won. Now, I don't expect J.D. to come out and say, well, our guys use like everyone else's, because then he'd be throwing his pitchers under the bus. But I would also say don't say anything, because the question to him from the reporter tonight, and I don't know who asked him, but the question was, do you have any problem with this thing being implemented in the middle of the season? And he said he could have easily said, no, look, this is, you know, it's been a big problem in the game. I mean, look at averages throughout Major League Baseball. They've dipped tremendously. And so the product on the field was suffering. And I think Major League Baseball wanted to be proactive about it. Could have very easily said that without saying, no, it's not going to affect us. He didn't have to bring his team into it at all, but he did. The Red Sox want it out there. They do. They want it out there. Our pitchers are clean because they know the accusations have been there the last 2 weeks. And Alex Cora said last night, hey, I've been suspended. I told our guys you don't want that. Just in case someone does it himself, or there's a pitching coach behind the scenes working with someone on how to hide the adhesive, Alex Cora has plausible deniability. So 617-779-0985. I'll take your calls on this topic, including Tyler Glass now if you want to go there. And we'll get to last night's game, which, again, had a dramatic finish when we come back on the Baseball Hour.
Fastballs, curveballs, and breaking balls.
Yeah.
The Baseball Hour on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Here's the designated talker mouth.
Sweet!
Baseball Hour with Tony Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Verdugo's already had a huge one. That was on the homestand with one of the walk-offs. Swinging a high fly ball, center field deep, racing back, Heredia at the wall. Gone! Goodness gracious! Well, you wanted a big hit, and you got it.
I don't know if I smelt that, but it went out of here.
Red Sox lead it 10-7.
I don't know if I smelled that, but it went out of here. And then Dennis Eckersley starts laughing. I don't know what they're doing in the booth, but that's your Mass General sound clip. Mass General Hospital sound clip of the day. At Mass General, your health and safety are their highest concerns. Please don't delay preventative screenings and follow-up care. For information on in-person and virtual care, visit massgeneral.org. Again, massgeneral.org. Post-COVID, now that restrictions have been lifted, time to make sure you start making your regular visits. Okay? Everyone should do that. I know that I started scheduling some appointments this week, as a total aside. Let's take a couple of calls here, and then I want to get a question I have, really, as it relates to guys in that Red Sox lineup who you want to see come up in big situations. Boy, it feels like Verdugo comes through over and over and over again, doesn't he?
Sure does.
It was happening earlier in the year. But he's a good guy to have up in a big spot.
And not only that, Mez, because I remember because it was one of those day games against the Twins early.
Yeah, you got it right, Murray.
That game-saving catch in April against Minnesota. So it was similar to the Benintendi catch back in the ALCS. Like, he's got a – there's an it factor with this kid.
Totally. And, Murray, in that series you're talking about, he had a game-saving catch. He had a hit into right center field that he turned on a fastball, and he had a hit down the left field line,
yeah,
if you remember. So Verdugo, to me, there's a – yeah, you know, there's an interesting tie-in there to something we're going to do later in the show, which I'll share with you shortly. 617-779-0985. Steve's in Carver. Go ahead, Steve, on Verdugo.
Yeah, Maz, before I get to my point, what the hell was up with that cameo? How is that guy a priest and a father to kids at the same time? That's not possible.
Well, it is in some denominations, but go ahead.
I know. I'm just playing. Listen, Verdugo, the guy's in his third season, Maz. He's batting .290. Throughout his career. And like you mentioned, I feel better about him at the plate than almost anybody right now on this team, including Devers in big spots. I'm including Xander right now. He's kind of in a little slump. I think J.D. Martinez, he has good numbers this year. He hasn't come through in the clutch. This guy is literally the heart and soul of this lineup. And it kind of makes me rethink that Mookie Betts trade a little bit, because you have a young, dynamic outfielder that can play the corner spots, hit for power, have speed. I mean, the guy looks like a 5-tool player, and right now he's really one of your most important players in that lineup, Matt.
Okay, so Steve, look, again, I agree with everything you said except rethinking the Mookie Betts trade. If Mookie Betts wanted to stay here, you sign him, you keep him. He's a unique talent. This kid's not Mookie Betts. Verdugo's not Mookie Betts. So let's not go that far. But he can play. He can play. And I don't know that I would call him a 5-tool player either. He's not a superstar. But what he is a solid, everyday, big league player who can play in a big market and who competes his ass off. There aren't a lot of guys like that in the big leagues. I mean, if I said to you right now, Verdugo or Benintendi, who do you keep?
Say again, I'm sorry.
Verdugo or Benintendi, Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, Verdugo.
Verdugo.
I like Verdugo better. I think he's a better player than Benintendi. Matt is in Medford. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Matt. I know what you're saying about needing to be implement the ruling need to be implemented early, but I have to agree with Murray and Jim that you mean to tell me they couldn't have waited to like after the All-Star game and tell them like to clean it up now, get used to not having anything, and then starting after All-Star weekend, it's implemented. I just think it makes more sense. Get these guys ready.
Hey, Matt.
All-Star, and that's it. Yes.
Okay, so what's the difference? I mean, they told them yesterday, and they're not implementing it till next week. So everybody has a week to get acclimated to it. And the other thing is, don't ignore the fact that the players and teams knew this was coming. MLB talked not only to them about it in spring training, but they talked about it with them in 2020. So at the end of last year, they discussed it with them. So what's the difference in waiting for the All-Star break or now?
I just think I didn't realize the time, you know, that they got the message out that early. But I just think the timing is really quick, and that it would just be better for one more month and everyone get ready, and then that's it.
Okay, so again, look, I get it that, you know, I mean, you say the timing was quick. It was quick for the fans. For the fans. The pitchers and the teams knew this was coming. And I think in your mind, you think the All-Star break because it's a breaking point. It's like halftime. So you say, okay, well, we're going to change the rules in the second half, which, again, I get. But I would tell you that all that is a psychological barrier. There's no difference between giving them a week now versus giving them a week later. And Murray touched on this earlier, and he's right. The real reason they're doing this and the reason they're doing it in the middle of a season, whether it's the All-Star break or now, you either do it in the middle of the season or you don't. Like, if you're going to wait, you wait till the end of the year. They're worried about the offense. The game is getting away again. MLB has reacted late. You want to criticize MLB for dragging their feet on this? By all means. I'm not telling you MLB has handled this thing well either, because they haven't. But the reason they're doing it in the middle of the year? Because the quality of the product is getting worse. We're happy here in Boston because we thought the Red Sox were going to suck. But the truth is, overall, in Major League Baseball, the game has become even more unwatchable. Chris is in the car on Alex Cora's comments to his pitchers. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. How are you? Just a couple of quick things. One is, I'll be quick because I have a few comments, but the Tyler Glasnow interview, I don't know if anybody else watched that, but he sounded like a complete moron. I think somebody needs to remind that kid that he's he's a professional baseball player, an adult, not a 16-year-old high school pitcher. Second, the comments that Cora made, I think that's what makes Cora great, and I think that's why guys play hard for him. I mean, he was super truthful. He was very candid. You'd never hear a guy like Tony La Russa say something like that, where you're just very transparent about your experiences and the things that you went through. And as far as all the sticky stuff goes and the alibi piece, I guess I just don't really understand that, because whether it's been in the past individual players violating rules, whether it's been cork bats, steroids, Pineda with the pine tar, I mean, that type of stuff has never really come back on the manager, has it? It's been
Okay, so Chris,
I get the
Chris, I'm going to stop you there just because I want to get to other calls. And thank you for the call. But when you say it hasn't come back on the manager, you're right. How many of those teams had managers that had been suspended? So this is my point. Cora now has a reputation. Cora's got something on his record. So people are immediately going to jump at that. Immediately. Whether he did or he didn't know about it. So what Cora's telling everyone up front, because Cora knows, all this has come to the surface in the last week plus. Because Red Sox pitchers have been getting their brains beat in at a time when it coincides with the pitchers adjusting to the fact that they're going to take away adhesives. So Cora knows, if our guys get busted for this, people are going to look at me and say, Cora's the manager. He was in Houston. He did the whole thing with the Astros. Again, whether it's right or not doesn't matter. The perception becomes the reality. And for that part, by the way, Cora has to be held accountable.
Right. And there's a giant difference between convicted cheater and, you know, speculative cheater. Like, the guy got whacked for it. He knows. Like, even if he had nothing to do with it, even if he didn't order the code red to have them use the sticky goo on any of the balls for the pitchers, like, he'd be out immediately. He'd never be able to manage in the game again.
Murray, there's just, he loses plausible deniability.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone looks at him and says, hey, well, what about that Houston thing? Well, how's he going to answer to that? So Cora's putting it out there front and center. Hey, I told these guys, don't do it. You heard me. I said it back on June 15th. Now it's documented. Okay, so it's out there. He has an alibi, which, by the way, I think is smart. I think it's smart because I don't want Cora to get fired as manager. I think most Sox fans don't. But the fact is, if this thing spills into the Red Sox clubhouse, if it were any other team, you'd look at the manager and say, well, he doesn't have control over his team. In Cora's case, the cost for that is significant, major, borderline excessive. But again, the fact that he has lost credibility on that, that part's on him. That part is on him. But he just wants it out there, and I think the organization wants it out there, that Cora talked to the staff. I mean, you know, let's tell everybody what Cora's approach was. I do think he's been humbled by the whole thing, and I think that's a good thing. So, a couple of other things I want to get to. Again, one is the nature of that victory last night. What it says about the Red Sox team. I thought Cora, as it relates to the team and their play, had a great, great comment after the game last night. We'll play that for you after Jim Murray gets you caught up on the latest.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Same old Mass.
I know that's a big word the Red Sox like to use.
It's the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Alex, I know some of them have been sloppy, but of your last three wins, two have been walk-offs, and tonight is you take the lead in your second-to-last at-bat. What does that say maybe about the ability to come back and the character of the team?
Oh, yeah, I'm not complaining about it. Of course, like I've been saying all along, we just need to be better. But the fact that they just keep playing until they stop the game, it's over, you know, it's who they are, where they at, how they feel about this. And, I mean, we got 41 wins. And, you know, it was we got one more game in a tough stretch. And a lot of people thought that was the beginning of our season, right? So, you know, we thought our season started against Baltimore when we were 0-3. But, you know, I understand how people feel about us and the questions and how they feel about our schedule and who we are and all that. But, you know, in this clubhouse, it really doesn't matter. You know, we show up, we love playing the game. They enjoy playing the game. And we know we're going to be, you know, answering questions throughout the season, you know, and rightfully so. You know, we're not that great. We just have a good baseball team, and we just keep getting better.
I just love the last part of that comment. Because the Red Sox's greatest asset, it is their ability to grind. They grind out every game. And Cora says, we're not that great. But, you know, we got a good team, and we play hard. And I think that that's what – this is what they wanted to do in 2013. I think that they went with the same sort of logic this year where they said we need to build a competitive team that plays hard and that the fans can be proud of, that the fans like again, that the fans look at and say, well, they're giving me an honest effort. And I think that's what the Red Sox are doing. And maybe I shouldn't use that word honest. You know what I mean. Anyway, the Red Sox – and Cora said, too, about this stretch of games that everyone was going to judge us on. They played Houston on May 31st. That was the start of the stretch where we said Houston, Yankees, Toronto, Atlanta. Now they go to Kansas City after this, and then they'll play tough teams again. Tampa's in there. New York's in there. First 16 games, they're 9-7. Hanging in there, despite the fact that their pitching staff has basically gone up in smoke. So I kind of like, you know, I kind of like what they're doing. I don't think it's a championship caliber team, but they're playing hard.
No, they've been in pretty much every single game almost that they've played so far this season. I think that's their calling card. So far for the 2021 Red Sox, they're a resilient ball club.
Yeah, and just quickly, Murray, you heard McAdams say, I know it was sloppy, but, and Cora says, well, look, I'm not complaining about it. Because the tone of Cora's presser last night after the game was not great. He was asked about Eduardo Rodriguez. Here's what he said.
I mean, he had a 5-run lead, and you saw what happened. You know, he had the bottom of the lineup, and he didn't do his job. I think early on, he established his fastball in. He did a good job, but then, you know, just wasn't able to execute.
Okay, so you know, he had a 5-run lead. You know, he didn't do the job. And I just think that that's pretty candid. Like,
well, he's going to start. I know Red Sox fans are, but he's got to be pretty frustrated at Rodriguez at this point because he sucked for going on like 2 months.
Well, and last night, too, it looked like Rodriguez had it back. I think he struck out 5 guys in the first 2 innings. I was watching the early part of the game and I said, ooh, this is a good thing. This is a good sign. Looks like Rodriguez might have it back. And then, you know, all of a sudden they went 5-0, 5-1. Now it's 5-4. Now you're scraping to win the game. And Cora was pissed. I think he was pissed about it. I don't blame him. I asked earlier, who would you want up in a big spot if you're the Red Sox? Who would you want up in a big spot? What guy is in that situation is the guy, and because we were talking about Alex Verdugo. So I want to give you some numbers on that in a second. But first, Adam's in a car on the Verdugo-Benintendi comparison. Go ahead. Well, we lost him, so we'll move right along.
Quickly, you know, so one of the reasons I don't like that comparison, for the bit that I've watched, he's just with my eye, he's better on the base pass than Benintendi ever was.
I would agree. Yeah, absolutely, Murray. I'm just telling you that they're similar players.
Sure, but it's a relatively small sample size with Verdugo, but he's a much better runner than Benintendi. Benintendi was kind of a nightmare at times on the base pass.
Oh, yeah, ran like his hair was on fire. Totally. And I would tell you, though, that if you look at their numbers this year, they're almost identical. Benintendi's got 8 homers. Verdugo has 9. They both have the same number RBI. Verdugo's got a couple of more hits. I think it's 68 to 62. Benintendi has run more, but he's also been thrown out more. I think he's been thrown out more than any base runner in the league. Defensively, they're close. I think Verdugo's got a little more power. And Verdugo's 2 years younger, so I'll take Verdugo. It was a rough comparison. This is part of the reason why I was okay with trading Benintendi. I think they're similar players. I just didn't like what they got back for him. Wills and Woburn on doctoring the ball. Go ahead, Will.
Yeah. So I understand getting rid of spider tack and gorilla glue or whatever, but now you can't use sunscreen and rosin. Haven't they been doing that for 30 years? Two years ago, they got rid of the laces on the baseball, and guys are hitting them all over the place, and now you can't use sunscreen?
Okay, so they can still use rosin.
Yeah, you can't combine them. They're playing in 100-degree heat.
Okay, so again, so Will, this gets into a sticky area, pardon the pun, which is, where do you draw the line? So we'll allow the sunscreen and the rosin. Okay, which sunscreen? Does it have to be a certain kind of sunscreen? And what about a guy who then hires a chemist to create his own sunscreen and spray something on his arm? It's either going to be all or nothing. No sprays, no liquids. You want the rosin bag's been out there since the invention of time. So you want to put the rosin bag on the mound? Fine. And I'm okay with going to baseballs that have bigger seams. Years ago, I said, you used to see this all the time. You never see it anymore. It used to be that when a pitcher didn't like the ball, he would throw it into the umpire, and the umpire would throw him another one. He would check the seams. Sometimes a guy would throw three or four back, and the umpire would get pissed off. You never see it anymore, ever, because they don't need it. That's why, because they're all out there with super glue. Quickly, John in New Hampshire on the Red Sox overall and the product on the field. Go ahead.
Hey, Maz, how you doing? Hope everything's going well, Big Jim. Hey, well, the thing is, well, the one thing, this is not the reason why I'm calling, but they also said that they were using Vagisil on the ball, so that's not what I'm talking about.
Okay, get to the point. So, enough with the jokes. Go.
Well, Maz, you were, no, it's true, but Maz, you were saying baseball is like getting to be unwatchable, so for me, I can't wait. When the Red Sox come on, I'm going to listen to them on the radio, Castiglione and the great other guy.
John, how old are you? How old are you?
I'm 57.
Okay, well, there you go. That's it. You're 57. You remember the game from another time, and I let you go just because we're up against it, and I want to keep moving, not because you said anything wrong. So, you know, again, they're not trying to get you. They're trying to get the younger person that they can't get. So you watched it your whole life. You remember what the game used to be played. Compare what it was played like then to what it is now. This game blows. It's softball. You got guys in there whipping at 100 miles an hour, then complaining when they get arm injuries because they can't grip the ball. And then a player swinging from their ass trying to hit home runs. It's home run derby. It's softball. It's not entertaining. They need to fix that.
The show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Hour. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.